we begin the process. We begin to introduce fantasy owners to the fantasy football stars of the future. Mike, I'm going to start with you, brother. Thanks for being here. Are you a big combine guy? Because I know I certainly am. People call it the underwear Olympics, but I always find myself watching it.
I am the same way. I always find myself watching as much as I can. And it's not necessarily that my opinions will change drastically. I'm really looking to see what the temperature is of the scouts, what the temperature is of those that are projecting the drafts and have pored through all the film, to see how things might change, how players might move up and down, exactly what teams, frankly, are looking at particular players. I think that's the thing I'm most interested in, is what teams start to get hot on a certain player. There's only so much you can predict before the draft, especially from a fantasy football output perspective. But that's what I like to see. Are the Browns really in love with Mitch Trubisky? Are the Jets really thinking about taking a running back at six? Those are the types of things I try to sift through here in this next week or two.
And one of the things we'll be talking about today, we're going to get into that hot and heavy into this 2017 running back class. Omar Emery, for the most part, everybody is saying this is a deep draft, except for the quarterback position. But you, former running back in college, when you look at this running back class, what are you really looking forward to today as they get their chance to shine on the field?
You always want to see who's the fastest. That's the biggest draw to the combine, who's going to run fast, who's going to perform well in drills. And again, tape trumps everything, but the 40-yard dash, the agility drills, it's still very fun to watch.
No doubt about that. All of the things that we'll be breaking down, looking at, and stuff like that. Now, when you look at this event, you know what I'm saying? A lot of people downplay it. They poo-poo it. Oh, it's the underwear Olympics. It's really about what goes on the field. Obviously, you're still going to have pro days coming and stuff like that. But one of the things I look at, Mike, is the fact that, you know, they call it the world's toughest job interview. You know what I mean? You could be getting ready for your bedtime. You know what I'm saying? You get a knock on the door. 2 a.m. in the morning. Hey, Mike, get up. You got to go get an MRI. The Buffalo Bills are worried, upset. The Buffalo Bills are concerned about your neck. When you look at things like that, I find that to be also a very interesting part of it, what goes on outside of the combine as far as not between the lines, but the mental aspect of it.
Well, I think the good news for the players is that this process has become so refined by the agents is that they are coached up on every level, right? We're not just trying to shave 1/1000ths of a second off your 40. We're trying to make sure that you answer things properly in that 15-minute speed dating interview that you have. I think to some extent, the teams would obviously want more access to the players. And yes, getting poked and prodded isn't all that fun, but through the other side of that tunnel, you may be an NFL draftee, so you're more than happy to do it, right?
Well, here's the thing. I feel as though if the teams didn't put as much emphasis on, let's say, the combine, the interviews and things like that, they probably would get real genuine answers and the truth coming from these players, as opposed to being coached up on how to answer this question or what to say, because no one wants to have coached up answers or get coached up answers. So I just hope that some teams probably do it the right way and just say, listen, you could be straight up with us. It's what's in this room is going to stay in this room. We won't have any Dez Bryant situations where stuff will get leaked out. But I just think that for the most part, the medicals and the psychological tests, those are the most important things in addition to these testings. But I think that just getting a good feel for everyone and who they are as a person maybe could alter where you, let's say if you like a quarterback and you're torn between two, but this guy just seems like a good guy to be around, mm-hmm. Let me just take him.
Yeah, your rapport, I think, especially that position, is going to be really important, right? The most important, there's two relationships in sports that are supremely important. One is the star basketball player and the head coach, right? And the star NBA player and the head coach. And the second one is the NFL quarterback and the head coach. And they have to be in lockstep with how they want to approach things. Granted, an offensive coordinator can be a conduit there, but it's extremely important that they get along well. And to your point about the Dez Bryant scenario, I think it emphasizes what's really important going into a process like this. This is a job interview, right? This is an organization hiring an employee. And if you can't trust, if one side can't trust the other, I'm sure Dez Bryant, when all of that stuff flushed out, was like, thank God I never played for the Dolphins, mm-hmm. right? Because, and what we're referring to, there were some rumors about questions that were asked, inappropriate questions that were asked during that interview process. And I'm sure Dez Bryant is, you know, probably long in his rearview mirror. Mm-hmm. He's thankful that Miami never got anywhere near
that. Was Jeff Allen, I believe, he asked Dez Bryant in the interview process if his mother was a prostitute. So, and like you said, I think, Emery, what you touched on is has this thing become so over publicized, so hyped up that we start to see, you know, foolish questions like that come out in the process? Obviously, situations going on this year with the young man Joe Mixon, who is not in attendance. We'll be speaking about him. But when you look at it, you know, the off the field stuff also plays a major role in this week. It's going to be guys that we're going to talk about, man, right off the top of the right off the rip. A guy like Dalvin Cook, who's sitting at number one on the board. He's a guy that has some off-the-field red flags. This is also a chance to look at that stuff this weekend.
Yeah, I think when you look at a lot of these red flags and what happens with these players, you want to see if it's recent or if there's been some years in between incidents, because that way you can tell if a guy has learned his lesson or if he's a repeat offender. I think that's the more interesting part about, let's say, when Cook had his transgressions to when Mixon has had his. I think when you look at, let's say, a guy last year in Doriel Green back or 2 years ago, he had that issue at Missouri, then went to Oklahoma, set out
same
the year,
thing.
Same thing, and it kind of got swept underneath the rug. Tyreek Hill's was a little bit more recent, but it was still over time. He had done this, I believe, his freshman season at Oklahoma State. And I think if someone just did something recently, it would be more of an issue because, man, you know you're going to the NFL. Are you getting ready for this big job interview and you're still screwing up? Like, we're going to hear about guys that have failed drug tests. Like, how can you do that knowing they're going to test you going into this process? So I think the more recent issues players will have and have had this season are more important than stuff that happened, let's say, 2-3 years ago.
And the irony of speaking about the drug transgressions and testing, I think the one thing that people may not realize is that while the NFL drug policy is somewhat extensive in what it covers and it's consistent, it isn't rigorous. You are told when you're going to be tested. You're certainly told that you're going to be tested at the combine.
Yeah, that's one right there. You probably shouldn't mess up.
And outside of that, you're really only getting tested between April and August. And if you never flag yourself during those months, you're fine for the rest of the year. So to extend that a little bit, if a player wanted to use marijuana throughout the regular season and was clean by the time April rolled around, he would never really have a problem. It's just players, frankly, not thinking it through how they're using this. And frankly, maybe one hand washes the other with them not having a clear head.
But when you talk about the marijuana thing and the off-the-field stuff, it's kind of like, do you say, for example, do you say, all right, wait a minute, the kid does have little things that go on, situations with a little marijuana or a little recreational marijuana use, but you know what? So does Le'Veon Bell. You know what I mean? They took a shot on him. Maybe in another direction, you can look at, well, Kenny Britt has some off-the-field issues. But he's fine now. Took him 10 years to get there, but he's fine now. Adam Pac-Man Jones, off-the-field issues. But he's fine now. You know, how serious are these? He's getting there. He still struggles from time to time.
Still calling him Pac-Man, so.
He hasn't shook that label
not
yet.
All the way.
You know, it's a real big part of what's going on out there in Indianapolis right now, too, because you have to realize if you're going to take a shot on these players. And, of course, the name that's coming up right now is the kid Mixon. Emery, I know you spoke about the kid Mixon last time that you were in here. You know, what do you think eventually, not here at the combine, the Lions GM actually said that he thought it was unfair that the general managers didn't get a chance to properly vet the kid.
Well, you look at, let's just say from a business perspective, who wants to travel when you don't have to? You know, this guy was coming to you at Indy. You had a chance to interview him, vet him, put him through all the rigors of the medicals and the psychological tests and get the answer that you want. Now you have to go get that information in Norman, Oklahoma. That's just another day that you have to travel instead of going somewhere else and see a prospect that you may not have covered fully like you would have covered at the combine. So that's number one. Number two, from a football side of it, there should be no football questions you should have about Mixon because you've seen him play for 2 seasons. Your questions are what's most important, the mental and the psychological test, and you won't get that rawness at Oklahoma. You're going to get, you know, coached up answers. Then you'll have to spend more money, going back to the business side, to fly him in personally for these private workouts. So I think from a business perspective, that's why you're seeing the GM of the Lions feel that way. I think talent-wise, they're going to take him. He's going to get drafted. He's going to play in the NFL. I think from a business standpoint, the owners and general managers feel like we're wasting so much money when it could have been avoided by just having this guy here.
I mean, Emery makes a good point. The pro day is even more controlled than the combine.
Yeah.
And conditions are even less realistic than they are even at the combine, which isn't particularly realistic with nobody wearing pads or anything like that. No defense is coming at you. Mm-hmm. And Jameis Winston looked immaculate at the combine, and he looked better than the other guys, but honestly, he's throwing to wide open wide receivers in front of a broom handle or whatever it is that they try to throw up there. You know, I'd say the one last thing on the, for me, on the off the field stuff is, I think what's hard to sift through is that you have somebody like Dalvin Cook, where he's got 2-3 different things in his past, but nothing really in the last 8 years that's been of much consequence. Mm-hmm. You can chalk a lot of this stuff up, hopefully, to guys being 17-year-old knuckleheads. I mean, we all were knuckleheads when we were 17. You're shooting BB guns at people. It's stupid, but are you an arch criminal? Hopefully not. You have somebody like Aaron Hernandez. There's some red flags there. The red flags certainly weren't what they ended up being, and it's really difficult. How could anybody seriously project what some 17-year-old kid psychologically is going to turn into when he's 24? It's hard enough to evaluate offensive linemen from a physical stature, let alone what's in their mindset. Yep. The hardest single thing to do for college coaches is to recruit offensive linemen, because they have no idea if these guys can develop any kind of technique. And if they're not good enough at technique, they throw them on the defensive line, and vice versa. They're constantly shifting those guys around. So to project what they can be mentally is way, way too tough.